Man, we thank God for our music ministry, Let the Redeemed. Say so. I want to congratulate the Godines and the Campbells for the anniversary. I, too, have a wedding anniversary in September on Tuesday. Mrs. Freeman and I will celebrate 42 years of marriage. So happy anniversary, baby love. I want to read Psalm number 67 from the New International Version. Psalm 67. And it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest, God. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. The word of our God. Not just for us. It's the title of my message. Not just for us. I was watching the local news from Chicago and New York. And there were a couple of stories about the housing of migrants. And both stories from Chicago and New York highlighted the objections of folks who don't want migrants housed in their community. Residents in New York and Chicago are concerned about crime, garbage, and the safety of their families. In one story, a woman of color said at a town hall meeting, I know those folk are from Venezuela. Send them back to Venezuela. We don't want them here. I understand the concerns about the impact migrants might bring to communities. I understand the concern about crime, property values, and safety. Those concerns have been expressed about efforts here in Austin to place people experiencing homelessness in communities in our area. And I'm sure that there are many, even in here, who are concerned about an influx of migrants in the neighborhood. And during those news stories from Chicago and New York, only a few people expressed compassion or concern about the welfare of the migrants. One woman said, we've got people living on the streets here in Chicago, and no one has tried to help them. Why are they only concerned about migrants? And I get it, you know, when these migrants flooded, being sent from Texas and Florida, when they flooded these northern cities, it was a big news story. And so the cities decided to do something about it. But there have been people without homes for decades. in these cities and in these communities and people struggling, and no one has done anything. So I get it. Again, I understand the concerns. The migrant situation and homelessness are serious and complicated issues. But what struck me about those stories is the level of vitriol expressed against the migrants. It almost appeared to me to be an attitude that says, I've got mine, you've got to get yours. And if you can't, too bad. That's not my problem. I want my home to be safe. I want my neighborhood to be safe. I want my children to be safe, and I don't want you around. And what is especially troubling for me is the sense that people who understand and have experienced oppression themselves show little concern for those fleeing oppression and needing assistance. That's even more troubling. In our community, communities of color, we know about oppression. We know about being locked out. We know about not having resources. But sometimes we can become insulated. We can speak and act with an insider mentality. And that means that we are only concerned about those who are on the inside, those who are part of the group or community already. And so outsiders can be denied access to the resources that insiders enjoy. And this mentality not only spills over into communities, into states, but also spills over into our religious life. We can, in the church, as Christians, develop a narrow view of faith. We can espouse an exclusivist approach to spirituality, an approach that says God's blessings and resources are only for those who are part of God's family. God's blessings and resources are reserved for insiders. You're welcome to join us, but if you don't join us, then you're on your own. It's an insider mentality. And I submit to you, beloved, in a world torn apart by racial, ethnic, and national exclusivism, we need a word from the Lord. What is God's intent for the world? What is God's intent for the people of God? Is God reserving blessings just for the people of God? Does what God has to provide only go for those who are already connected to God's family? And so our text, in Psalm 67, read it again when you have time. In Psalm 67 highlights God's universal concern for the world. It teaches that God rules the entire world. God's sovereignty extends across racial, ethnic, geographic, and religious lines. It's a powerful passage. Let's look at the text more closely. Psalm 67 begins with a call for blessings. Text says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Psalm 67 is a psalm of thanksgiving. And some people suggest that people are thankful for the harvest festival. That's what it's about. Some suggest that the psalm is a prayer for God's blessings, or both. But the people call for three things. They call for divine grace. They call for divine blessings and they call for divine favor. And when it says us, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, the word us refers to the people of Israel. So God's people want divine grace. They say, be gracious to us. And that makes sense because grace grows out of God's mercy. And it's because of God's mercy and grace that we have the compassion and forgiveness of God. God's people need grace. We all need grace. God's people fall short of God's expectations, but grace allows them to remain connected to God. So they ask God for grace because they know they need grace. And second, they call for blessings. They say, and bless us. It reminds me of the prayer of Jabez. The people say, bless us. They acknowledge God's sovereignty, and they know that blessings come from God. And that's understandable because we all need some blessings. And only God, beloved, can truly bless us. And finally, the people call for divine favor. They say it this way. They say, and make his face shine on us. In other words, with God's face shining on them, they want God to be smiling at them. That's the literal interpretation. They want God to smile on them, which means to show favor toward them. We know about that. We sing that song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. The words contains the words, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. So we want God to show favor toward us, and God's people, Israel, wanted favor as well. We need favor. We need favor. Because the favor of God opens doors. Let me just explain what favor means. Favor really means that God is at work in your life. And that God is working for your good. And that God is trying to bless you and help you. So when you've got favor, you've got the right person in your life. Because favor opens doors, it tips the balance toward us. Favor brings protection and resources. You might be going up for a job against someone else who is just as qualified as you are. But if you've got divine favor, favor will tip the balance for you. So they pray for blessings. And we all know about that because we need blessings in our lives. So they call for blessings. Hurricane Idalia has wreaked havoc in Florida and other southeastern states. Communities, homes, and businesses are destroyed. We've seen the images, and we've seen images like that in the past. The wildfire in Maui has devastated an entire town, and folks are reeling from the disasters and impact. And so folk need a blessing, and they understand the call for divine support and blessings. And so God's people are on the right track in this song. They begin by saying, bless us. And I tell you today, if you need a blessing, call on the one who is able to bring blessings. And I want you to know today, no one can bless you like God can. And no one can show up and help you like God can. So they call for blessings. But the psalm also shifts and shows us that Israel, the people of God, becomes a vehicle through which God will reach out to other nations. Did you hear that? They become a vehicle through which God will reach out to other nations. They say, bless us, make your face to shine upon us, be gracious on us. And then they say, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So they don't just ask for blessings in a vacuum. They want the blessings because they want the other nations of the earth to know God's ways and to come to salvation. There's a song that goes, and you know, you gotta be careful about folk writing songs, especially religious songs, because some folk are musically inclined but not spiritually connected to God. And so they just write songs, not rooted in the word, not rooted in theology. But there's a song that goes, what God has for me, it is for me. You all know that song. And I'm not criticized, I just pointed it out as a reference. What God has for me, it is for me. Yes, that's true, but only to a certain extent. Because the psalmist teaches that Israel is an instrument in God's hands. God blesses Israel and uses those blessings as a vehicle to draw other nations. So that God is not just concerned about the welfare of Israel, God is concerned about the welfare of all the nations of the earth. So the text says God blesses Israel for two reasons. One, that God's ways may be known among the nations. Two, that God's saving power may be experienced by other peoples of the earth. So Israel literally becomes a conduit through which other nations learn about the ways of God. And so other peoples of the earth will witness the life, the prosperity, and the blessings of Israel. And they'll discover that there is a God who rules and provides. And when other nations see how God cares for the people, they will be drawn to God's saving power. Wow. So we cannot simply be content with receiving blessings from God. And that's it. We cannot say to ourselves, God bless me. God answered my prayer. God opened the door for me and be content, because that's not what God is trying to do. We cannot hoard God's resources. We cannot just pray to have our needs met. That's why I have on this sheet for prayer our world, our community, our nation, because we're not just concerned about ourselves and our own issues and needs. We have to think about what God has in mind. So that God blesses us, so that God can be a blessing through us. So if you've been blessed, it's not just so you can go around and look good and say, look at the new outfit God gave me. Look at the new car I'm driving. Look at the new home I'm living in. God bless me, I got favor. I don't know about you, but I got favor. You cannot go around with that spirit and that attitude, because God blesses us so that other persons can witness those blessings and come to God. In other words, we have to break away from our narrow view of faith and salvation. Because God has a universal, worldwide strategy. It's not just about Baptist folk. It's not just about Methodist folk. It's not just about Christian folk. God has a universal, worldwide strategy. And God intends blessings for all the peoples of the earth. We are called not to be insulated. Instead, we are called to be instruments of God. When I was a sophomore in high school, one of my high school teachers got angry with our history class one day. And we were being disruptive and talking, and so she went off. She went off on us. And she told us that we wouldn't amount to anything. We're sophomores in high school being disruptive. She said, we wouldn't amount to anything. And then she said, I don't care if you don't listen. I've got mine. You've got to get yours. And I didn't like what she said. I didn't like it then. And I don't like it now as a parent who has reared four children, put four children through college. Because I know the impact a teacher and the words from a teacher can have on a child. But I didn't like what she said. Because I said to myself, she's from our community. She understands the community we're a part of. She should never tell us we won't amount to anything. We need folks who recognize the importance of not only freeing themselves, but also working to set other people free. You cannot go around and say, I've got mine, you get yours. That's the wrong spirit. And that's the wrong attitude. And as I mentioned earlier, it troubles me when folks who have experienced oppression and exclusion become the barriers for other folks who are oppressed. I was troubled when I watched those news accounts and saw people of color standing up in their communities holding signs saying, don't let the migrants in. Because I remember the great migration in this country when many African Americans came from the South up to northern cities, were taken in by aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and given a place to stay and given jobs in order to make it. You've got to remember your history so that you don't repeat your history. When we are delivered from oppressive systems, when we are blessed to live better lives, we are called to make a difference for others who are going through the struggle. We might not be migrants today, but we know the struggles of oppression and racism. And we cannot operate with that I've got mine, you've got yours mentality. Dr. King wrote, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And so God is using Israel as an instrument to draw the nations. And one more thing and I'm done. God's glory is to be acknowledged by all the peoples of the earth. And when the text says peoples, plural, it means nations, other groups. And so the Bible says, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The striking thing about this passage is that the writer calls for universal praise. The writer says, we want you to be gracious to us. We want you to bless us. And we want you to make your face shine upon us. And then he doesn't say, and then we'll show up at the temple and we'll praise you. He says, no, do it so that other people looking at us might ask us, how did you get those blessings? And how did you get to be where you are? And when we tell them how we got blessed, they might say, we want a part of that same God that has blessed you. And enjoin in universal praise. The writer speaks with a voice of inclusion. He knows that the sovereign God is not the sole possession of Israel. And I've got news for you. God is not your sole possession. You might go around and say, my God told me, my God, what, my God. God is not your God. God doesn't just belong to you. God is no one's sole possession. And he knows that if the nations are to praise God, then God has to be shared with the nations. So if we're to reach other people, then when Venezuelans come into our neighborhood, we've got to share God with them. And when migrants come from Honduras and Mexico and from other places fleeing oppression, if God is going to be known, we've got to share God with them as well. We've got to share it. The writer says the reason he calls for universal praise is because of the justice of God. God rules the world with equity. In other words, God is fair. God is willing that all the peoples of the earth share and have the same resources. Equity means if one has it, all have it. If one needs a blessing, all have access to that blessing. God's vision is that the whole world submits to divine sovereignty. God intends praise for the nations. We think that God just has us to praise him. But God has more than us. And if we don't praise him, choir already said the rocks will cry out. If you show up on Sunday, your song wasn't sung, your sermon wasn't preached, so you say, I'm going to sit back, keep my arms folded, and keep my mouth closed. No praise for God today. God isn't worried about that. Because God has somebody who knows how to praise him and thank him for what he has done. I'm trying to say to us that our exclusive acts and language can get in the way of God's agenda. You see, God is trying to reach everybody. And don't let these conservative evangelicals and some of these governors and people in this country lead you down the wrong path and lead you to think that you are justified in mistreating those who are disenfranchised, those whose backs are against the wall. The Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. It's not just for us. My younger brother lives in South Carolina. We were just there. He lives in a wooded area, and there are a lot of deer in that area. The other day, he called and said that a deer died. He got this deep ravine down in the back of his house. And he said the smell was so strong that he went outside to find out the source of the smell. And he noticed that a deer had died. And when he turned back toward the house to go back to the house, he noticed a group of vultures perched on top of his roof. He said there were dozens of them. And, you know, we're from Chicago. We don't see vultures like you all see them down here in the South. He said when he saw that, he thought of that old movie, The Birds. Y'all too young. He said, oh, hecky no. Let me get back in the house. He took a picture of the vultures and sent them to me and said, look at all these vultures. You know, those vultures, nature's cleanup crew were there because they were ready to devour the deer carcass. And one thing about it, the vultures are not necessarily related. They're not necessarily brother and sister. Cousin vulture, uncle vulture, aunt vulture. The vultures just come from all over, tracking the smell of dead animals. And when they get to a carcass, they know that they're going to be joined by other vultures. They know the meal will be shared. That's a given. They know that. So that's why they wait at the ready on that rooftop, ready to dive in, knowing that others will join them. Well, I wish that we in this country had the sense of a vulture. I wish that we had the sense of a vulture in that we know that it's not just for us. We know that every meal we have is going to be shared by somebody else. We know that everything we've got is not just for us to keep to ourselves. I wish we had that sense. I wish we could realize that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, and that God's blessings and resources are to be shared by everybody. We need each other. We have to exist together. And God's blessings are to be shared. And when we see someone else in need, when we see someone else sleeping in a police station or sleeping in on a sidewalk and begin to think we don't want them in our neighborhood, we have to say to ourselves, but for the grace of God, there go I. They might be homeless today, but it might be me tomorrow. And you say to me, oh, Ricky, oh, no, I'm not going to be like them. I got too much money. I got big investments. I got a big house. I got all that going for me. I got good health. My family's in good health. It can all be gone. In one day, it can all be wiped out in one day. You know what I'm talking about. What that man named? The man named Bernie Madoff. He made off with all that money. Folks had all those investments, and all of them were a lie. Not just for us. I'm glad today, beloved, that blessings come from God. I'm glad that God gives grace and favor. And I'm glad that God isn't exclusive. I know he called 12 Jewish men, but if he had just stopped with 12 Jewish men, he might not have called me. He might not have called you. I'm glad that God isn't exclusive, that God reaches out beyond racial, ethnic, and religious lines. I'm glad that God blesses us in order to show other people what it means to follow Christ. Our testimony is designed to let folk know what it's like to be a child of God. You see, the world needs to know how good God is. And the only people that can tell the world how good God is the people who know how good God is. The world needs to know that the same God who blesses us can bless others also. So somebody ought to say to the migrants, I'm not on the streets, but I know what it's like to go without a meal. I know what it's like to have doors locked in my face. And I want to help you out of your situation. And if it's true that God doesn't just bless us for us, that God doesn't let his face shine on us for us, then the message is we cannot just share our testimonies and our blessings with those who are already in our group. It's all right. This isn't on my paper. I'm almost done. It's all right to have a testimony period at prayer meeting. But you're talking to the already converted. You're talking to the people who already know he answers prayers. You've got to share your testimony with somebody who doesn't know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. You've got to let others know what God is doing in your life. The psalmist said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you know what that means? Somebody ought to say something. And it ought to be said by the right persons. And the right persons are the redeemed of the Lord. Are there any redeemed people in here today? Has anybody been bought with a price? Has anybody been born again? You ought to say something and tell the story. We ought to tell somebody what God has done for us. We ought to tell somebody how God redeems us from sin. We ought to tell somebody that God answers prayers. We ought to tell somebody that God makes a way out of no way. We ought to tell somebody how we can keep going when everything is falling apart around us. We ought to tell somebody we serve a God who moves mountains. We serve a God who heals the sick. We serve a God who opens doors. We serve a God who will help you. We serve a God who makes a way for you. We ought to tell somebody. So I'm telling you today, I'm done, that if he picked you up, you ought to tell somebody about it. If he kept food on the table, tell somebody about it. If he took care of you when you were sick, tell somebody about it. If your heart was heavy and he lifted your burden, tell somebody about it. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody walk with me. Can't nobody hold my hand like God can. Not just for us. I'm done. I said that before. In a moment, I'm going to be done. Lord, you done what you told us to do. I'll be done. We're blessed in here. And if you've never traveled to third world countries, Caribbean, Africa, and other places, you don't really know true poverty. You don't know what it's like not to have resources. The poor people in this country have more than most peoples around this world. We are blessed. God has blessed us and taken care of us. And it's our charge to share those blessings and to open our hearts so that through us, God can be a blessing to others. The invitation is extended at this time. We offer Christ to you and invite you to come to receive him by faith. As our deacons and greeters come, you're invited. Invitation. If you're visiting online, you can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org and share your experience with us. We want to hear about it. Will you stand with me as we extend the invitation?
Hallelujah. I am redeemed.